this is the essence of what's wrong with this culture, is it believes that what this culture creates has value and that that what nature creates does not. What should be the goal of the environmental movement? Well, given that this is the only planet that we know of that supports life in the entire universe, and given that this culture is killing life on this planet, it's pretty clear what the goals of environmentalism should be, and the primary goal of environmentalism should be protecting life on this planet at any cost. And it should be, one's loyalty should be to the natural world, to the real world. And environmentalism, much grassroots environmentalism, is about protecting wild places and wild beings. But environmentalism as a whole has been hijacked into being about supporting this way of life. So, so often it's not about protecting wild places and wild beings, but about figuring out how to make this culture last a little bit longer, how to make this culture, quote, sustainable, how to have, quote, sustainable development, which of course is an oxymoron. And this has been a split in the environmental movement for quite a while, that 120 years ago, you have really John Muir on one side and Gifford Pinchot on the other. And John Muir was about protecting wild places and wild beings for their own sake. And Gifford Pinchot more represented what would be called sort of the conservation of resources, that you don't want to cut all the trees because we might want to cut the trees tomorrow, as opposed to leaving the trees for their own sake. And the sort of wise use end of the environmental movement has certainly gained ascendancy. And that's really easy to understand because within this culture, everything is about protecting this culture and not about protecting wild places and not about protecting life. And I recently saw an op-ed in the New York Times that manifested all of this pretty well. And the op-ed was about how would it be a bad thing if humans went extinct? And first off, the op-ed, one of the concerns I had about it was that it was very human supremacist, in that it was stating explicitly that humans are the only beings who can experience awe at the beauty and wonder of life, and that without humans, essentially, there would be no art. And that's just nuts. I mean, do they really think that a forest isn't creating art with the colors in the fall? Do they think that the Grand Canyon's not a piece of art? Do they not think the bodies themselves are wonderful pieces of art? And the problem is, this is the essence of what's wrong with this culture, is it believes that what this culture creates has value and that that what nature creates does not. And so, of course, you're going to end up killing the planet because you're not valuing it and you are valuing what this culture creates. And so the interesting thing, that was part of it, but the real problem I had with the op-ed was that it was conceptualizing and talking blithely about the end of human existence, but what is unspeakable and what cannot be considered in this culture is the end of this culture. That they can more easily talk about humans going extinct than they can talk about stopping this way of life that's killing the planet. And that's what really environmentalism has come to. And, you know, the climate change movement has made this much, much worse than it ever was before, in that nowadays, you know, the entire, so much environmentalism has become a lobbying arm of the solar and wind industries, as opposed to, again, fighting for real life. I mean, so you can have 100,000 people march in the streets of Washington, D.C. or Paris or London. And if you ask them what they want, they will say that, or if you ask them why they're marching, they will say that they're marching to protect the planet. But if you ask them specifically what are their demands are that they want subsidies for the wind and solar industries. And so the entire environmental movement in many ways has been turned into a lobbying arm of the solar and wind sectors of the industrial capitalism. That's extraordinary. And another problem with the environmental movement is that it has been along the way, like so many other movements have been, is entirely captured by neoliberalism, neoliberal individualism, by which I mean that in the 1980s was the first time that humans, the newspapers, corporate newspapers, called humans consumers more often than it called them citizens or human beings. And that's a powerful transformation, because if they convert you to a consumer rather than a citizen, as a consumer, your choices are to buy or not buy. And as a citizen, your choices are buy, not buy, organize, boycott, vote, don't vote, lobby, don't lobby, and when a government becomes destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to alter or abolish it. In other words, as a citizen, you can revolt. And that mirrors a transformation that took place a couple thousand years ago when we were converted into citizens who generally rely on the state to take care of things, as opposed to human animals who need habitat and who have teeth and claws and who will fight to the death when their habitat is being destroyed. So what should the environmental movement's aims be? The environmental movement's aims should directly be to protect wild places and wild beings. And a logical extension of that should be that what a goal of environmentalism should be is to destroy the entire industrial capitalism, and also to destroy civilization, because that is what is killing the planet. You know, so many indigenous people have said to me that the first and most important thing we have to do is to decolonize our hearts and minds. And that decolonization, the important step of that for me is to change one's loyalty from the system and to the natural world. And once you change your loyalty away from the system into the natural world, everything starts to become really clear. And once everything becomes really clear, you're no longer fighting against yourself, because right now we're in a bit of a double bind, because environmentalists, because if we want to protect the wild place, we know that it harms the economy to protect wild places. And it really is, in many ways, the economy. You know, this is one of the things that was really clear to me very early on, is you see the newspapers say, representing anti-environmental forces, they would say, we need to balance the needs of the economy versus the needs of the environment. And even though I was a baby environmentalist, I recognized that that's an acknowledgement that the economy, that the needs of the economy are in opposition to the needs of the natural world. And a lot of people recognize that, but they don't take it to the next step, that if you recognize that the needs of the economy are in opposition to the needs of the natural world, that means the needs of the economy are in opposition to life on the planet. And if you care about life on the planet, what that means necessarily is that you have to oppose the economy. And this is really difficult and scary, especially because we have been trained since infancy to care more about the economy than we do life on the planet. So this is one reason that so many environmentalists, and now I'm going to put that word in quotes, end up capitulating. And oftentimes they either capitulate by going, okay, well, we can make a sustainable economy, and just completely ignoring the effects of this economy and just trying to make them a little bit less bad as opposed to stopping the harm. And that's also why a lot of environmentalists end up going the neoliberal individualistic route. I started to say this about how newspapers called it consumers. Well, one of the effects of this neoliberal takeover of environmentalism, individualistic takeover, is that now if you look up how you're supposed to save the planet, it's not stop industrial capitalism. It's not even file timber sales. It's not even protect a piece of ground. It's by taking a shorter shower. It's by individually stopping by individual efforts of reduction of consumption. And the way that everything becomes very clear for me is I think, what would happen if space aliens came down and they were doing everything to the planet that the dominant culture is doing? If they did, we wouldn't think that, oh gosh, if I just take a shorter shower, then the space aliens aren't going to vacuum the oceans. We wouldn't think that. We would recognize that what we need to do is to fight back and to destroy the enemy's capacity to wage war on the planet. So what the goal of the environmental movement really should be is to stop the primary destruction. And, you know, an image I think about a lot is that you have some person who is brought into the emergency room and they're bleeding all over, and the doctors and nurses and everybody is bandaging the person up and stopping the bleeding as fast as they can. And that's incredibly important work, incredibly important work. But what they're all doing as they're doing this is they're ignoring the fact that the serial killer is still standing there and repeatedly stabbing the person lying on the gurney. And so what should the goal of the environmental movement should it be? A, it's incredibly important to put the bandages on. It's incredibly important to protect wild places, to help wild places come back. At the same time, we need to stop the murderer. And so what should be the goal of the environmental movement? Well, the first thing is it should be to make its loyalty to the natural world absolute and then to act from there.